My statement of faith. This is my Bible. It is the word of truth. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I'm a doer, not just a hearer. I am humble before the Lord. I'm obedient to the Lord. I am mature in the Lord. I'm enthusiastic about the Lord. I know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somebody say the word of God. Somebody say the word of God. Somebody say the word of God. Amen. Amen. I'll read into your hearing today Proverbs 28, verse 1, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. The Bible says in 28:1 of Proverbs, the wicked, somebody say the wicked. Those who are morally wrong, bad people, ungodly people, the wicked. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. You ain't here today, you ain't in that category. Amen. The wicked, somebody say the wicked. You know, the world is full of wicked people. Amen. You just need to make sure that you continue to live godly. Amen. Because he says here, the wicked flee when no man pursues them. But I like the way the Amplified Bible says this. They insert the word uncompromisingly righteous. But the uncompromisingly right. See, the church is doing a lot of compromising today. But now we need to stand up and say we won't compromise when it comes to God's word. He says the uncompromisingly righteous are bold as lions. God needs a couple of lions today. Amen. He needs somebody to stand up and be a lion for him today. Well, you know, it's time our kitty cat. Amen. 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 The Bible clearly says we are lions, king of the jungle. His roar that can go miles and miles and miles away. And people just hear the roar. They're not even where he's at, but they tremble. God needs some people that can speak a word that make folk tremble. Y'all may be seated. I don't want to get too excited, man. But you got to be bold as lions. So today we're going to begin a little short series that we've entitled Intentional Boldness. Intentional boldness. And I've been telling you that when we do things intentional, it's something that we do on purpose, for a purpose, and with purpose, or with attitude. When we do things intentionally, it is not an accident. Amen? So the word boldness, I just want to use a short definition for boldness. Boldness is a willingness. Somebody say a willingness. See, a lot of people ain't willing to be bold. So they'd rather be scared than to be bold. So boldness is a willingness to act with courage and confidence. Somebody say courage and confidence. See, we live in a time where fear is promoted more than faith, where timidness is often mistaken for humility. You know, if you're scared, just say you. You know, don't try to put it on humble. If you're scared, just say you're scared. And we live in this time when many people are shrinking back when they should be standing up. See, the world needs Christians who are not willing to compromise or who will not compromise God's truth or be ashamed of God when it comes to spreading his gospel. See, we got to make up our mind that in the face of opposition, we're not going to shrink back in fear when we should be standing as bold as lions. See, being bold as a lion does not mean that we act reckless or arrogantly or proudly with an oversized or inflated ego. Somebody say ego just means edging God out. So therefore, when you get caught up in you, it ain't about you. It ain't about God, but it becomes about you. But when we act righteously bold, we obey God's word even at the cost of being persecuted when it's not popular to be bold for the Lord. And see, when we act righteously bold, we are confident that God is with us and he will help us navigate our way through life as we serve and represent him in the earth. So therefore, when I know that God is with me, that gives me a whole new attitude when it comes to me representing him in earth. Because you are an ambassador for the Lord. I ain't here but a couple of amen right there. Y'all got to talk back to me right there. You are an ambassador. You're here to represent somebody. And so therefore, when you represent him, you should do it with boldness. Because you can speak on his authority. So today we're going to begin this systematic journey through the word of God, seeing how we should be bold and how we should walk in intentional boldness. Not the boldness of self-confidence, but the spirit-empowered boldness that comes when you trust in God and you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. You can't walk in this kind of boldness if you ain't got the Spirit of God in you. Because you need something on the inside of you that is greater than what you're going to face on there. You got to have the Holy Spirit. You can't be bold in your ownness, but you got to be bold in the Holy Spirit. Now look at this. I used this scripture in our last series in Joshua 1:8-9, but I'm going to emphasize something differently this time. This scripture, we closed our last series talking about intentional success God's way. But I want to use this scripture today to launch us on this journey of intentional boldness. So what I want you to see is that God commanded, somebody say commanded. God commanded boldness. It was not optional. And he command us to be bold because he will be with us. He will not leave us or forsake us. And as we go forth, we go forth in his power, knowing that we have him with us. So look what he told Joshua. And he made this command the third time in this very first chapter. But I'm going to read 8 and 9, and I did 8 last week. But I'm just going to emphasize a little bit of 9 before we go to our next text. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall do what with it? Meditate in what? Day and night, not day or night, but day and night, that you may observe to do all according that it is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good. Okay, so that was the last series, good success. Now today in verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you? You know, when I was in the military, there was things that were called commands. And when someone that outranked you, an officer, gave you a command, if it was lawful, you supposed to. Y'all better follow me today. So he says, have I not come? Boldness is not an option. You walking around like a timid little cat is not an option. He says, look, have I not commanded you to do what? Be strong and courageous. That's just another way of saying be bold. Be willing to do something that will sometime frighten you. Every now and then in life, there are going to be some things that in the natural will frighten you, but you got to be willing to do what you need to do in spite of your feelings. And you feel like I'm insecure, but gosh, I got to be. He says, be strong and of good courage. Do not be of nor be dismayed. In other words, don't be fearful and full of anxiety and don't be full of distress. You know, you're going to have to battle your way through some things, and you can't let your mind be overcome with anxiety to the point that you become so distressed that you become fearful and forget that God is. He says, for the Lord your God is with you, God's presence, wherever you go. So you don't have to come to church just to be bold off up in here. This is not the bold test. All of us are lions up in here. I need you to be bold when you get out of this building, when you get out there in them streets, when you out there dealing with the world. The world need to know that you bold. I mean, you got the courage to do some things that other people are scared to do. All because, Wayne, you got that boldness. You know, Psalms 23, it is believed that David wrote this psalm when he was being rebelled against by his own son, or he was facing some other dangerous challenge in his life. Now, metaphorically, he used the image of a good shepherd and a gracious host as he reflects on the many benefits that the Lord gives us. And he was letting us know that he faced some dangerous times in his life, but he made it clear that he will be confident and not fear as he went through those dangerous times, because God's presence would be with him to protect him, to guide him, and to give him the comfort that he needs in the midst of his trials. See, in life, you're going to have some challenges. But it all depends on how you're going to go through those challenges. You're going to have some valleys in this life. But how are you going to walk through those valleys? Are you going to walk through those valleys as if God is with you and he's going to bring you through? Or are you going to wimp out in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your struggle? What are you going to do? Are you going to act with boldness? Look what David says. He said, now look, the Lord is my... Y'all ought to know this song. Cause when we was coming up through school, you had to memorize this. You couldn't get out of Miss Gregory's class if you didn't know this. Even though she was a math teacher, you had to know this. So from a young age, we knew that. I just didn't know what it meant, but she just made us learn this. This good psalm, I call it. He says, for the Lord is mine, I shall not want. In other words, as long as I know who my shepherd is and he's doing his job, I will lack for nothing that I need to be beneficial, that's beneficial for me in this life, to serve him, to magnify him, to glorify him. I lack for him. Look what he does for me. He makes me lie down. Every now and then he says, you just got to rest. But I'm going to make sure you rest in a good place. He makes me lie down in green. He don't take me to some dried up field, dead grass. He take me to, so that when I lay down, I'm laying down on something lush and soft that and comfortable. So God have no problem with you being comfortable in this life. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside. There's a difference between still waters and running waters. And God know that I'm a sheep and running water get on my nerves. Make me feel kind of nervous. Because I know I got all this wool on me. And if I end up in running. So he makes sure that when I rest, I can rest in peace because the water ain't going to disturb me. You know, sometimes you got to know that you can rest in peace. It's time out for you sleeping beside those raging rivers. You need to say, God, I want to go to sleep in peace. And I want to be beside still waters. Finally, look what he says here in verse 3. He restores. If he's going to restore something, he's bringing it back to a place where it's supposed to be. He restores my soul. Why does he do that? Then what he does, he leads me in the path of righteousness. You know, it took me a while to read that slow and see that path had an S on it. All this time, Miss Gregory, I was saying that too fast. I was saying he leads me in the path of righteousness. But it looked like this righteous path got a lot of different ways that you can go. Because sometimes when you're walking in righteousness, you got to be honest. When you're walking in righteousness, you got to be a person of integrity. When you're walking in righteousness, you got to be a person of high moral character. When you're walking in righteousness, you need to walk in excellence in the Lord. So he leads me in this path of righteousness. Why? For his name is on the line based upon how I act. His name is on the line based upon how you. If you call yourself a child of God, he want to lead you on a path of righteousness because he don't want you to give him a bad. See, that sinner out there, he going to do what he do. He can't give God a bad name. But you, because you have been called and you've been called to live a righteous life, when you don't act like you're supposed to act, you give God a... So to keep his name good, he want to put you on the right. You can't walk on that path of wickedness evil. You can't do everything that the world does and still call yourself a child of, because now you're not on his path, you're on the world's. I know that we're going to go good, because we just don't. See, we only read David, this psalm, he'll come out at the funerals, but it wasn't meant to be read at funerals. This wasn't meant just to lead families into the church when they're trying to bury somebody. This would need to be read every day, because we need to be reminded that he leads us in the path of righteousness for his name. So that's why we got to be careful out there in them streets. Because when we don't act right in them streets, we give God a bad. His name is on the line, John, because of you. What you do is a representative of him. You know, when I was a little boy in the hood, people would base my actions, and they would see my action, and sometimes they would trace them back to my granddaddy. Because they would say things like, I know Richard Bolden didn't raise you. So you out here giving Richard Bolden, say you, a bad. And granddaddy wanted to have a good name in the community. But I'm out there because my last name, Bolden, I'm messing up his. So every now and then when I got out of line, mom, and cut the food, granddaddy had to put the rod of correction on me so that I didn't give him a bad. Well, y'all don't hear that today. So he want to keep us on this path of righteousness, Brother Wilson, for his. Then he says, trouble come. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Here's my boldness. I will fear no evil, for you are your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, the rod that is used to, you know, protect, and the staff is used to guide. So therefore, when we walk with God, we need his protection and we need his guidance. We can't make it through this life trying to navigate on our own. We got to depend on him for direction. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then he says, they do those things so that they can comfort me. God knows when we need comfort. But he knows that we can feel comfortable when we know we're protected and we provided for. When he's given us the guidance that we need. Look, he says, now look at this, what he'll do for you after he done brought you through the valley. He says in verse 5, you prepare, make ready a table before me. Where? Good God, in the midst. You know, it'd be nice he just put me in the midst of church folk. But sometimes he can put you right in the midst of your and prepare a banquet for you. Right in the midst of your, in the presence of my enemies. And guess what? You make me feel special. Even when I'm around folk that don't like me. Because you take time to come and anoint my head with oil. And then you make sure, Wayne, that everybody knows that you want to bless me more than just a little bit. You want to bless me more than enough. He said he blessed me till my cup. Every now and then, you know, you ought to be walking in a little bit of overflow. You ought to be living not that you just got enough and you living in lack. Every now and then, you ought to have enough that you can share your overflow with somebody. Because the overflow is not for you, it's for somebody. Reason some of y'all can't get to the overflow because y'all don't know how to share what you got. You're already stingy. You ain't going to share nothing. So why should God bless you with more when you don't know how to share what you already? He said, my cup runs. Then he said, look at Wayne, surely. You know, in the Baptist church, we play with surely right there for a while. We're saying surely. But I'm just going to read it to you. But surely, surely, that's confident right there. Make no mistake about it, Brother Wilson. Surely. This going to happen whether you believe it or not. So he says, surely, goodness and mercy. Surely. surely goodness and mercy. I need both of them. See, every now and then I need goodness to, you know, make sure to keep me on the right path and walk in righteousness. But when I get off that path, I need some. So I need both of them following me, because every now and then you can stray off the path and you don't want justice, you want. Y'all better hear me today. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And look what he said, and I will dwell. That's intentional right there. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Are y'all going to be with him forever? Can you make that statement? I will dwell. I mean, this thing is not an accident. This is intentional. I meant to be here today. We meant to be here today. If you're online, you meant to be here today. You worship him because you intend to dwell in his house forever. Amongst other people who believe like you, who think like you do when it comes to this word, people who stand in righteousness and boldness because they know who they are and they know who they belong to. So he said, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. You know, at one other time, Brother Wayne, I thought I was going to dwell in the club forever. I thought, you know, I would be 71 years old or whatever, and out there still clubbing it a little bit. But the club clashed with the house of the Lord. So one of them had to go. I can't dwell in the club every Friday and Saturday and short with a hangover in God's house on Sunday. So sooner or later, I got to make up my mind, I want to dwell in the house of the, you know, not the little club. I don't even know the names of the clubs right here. But back in my day in Montgomery, that was the Lakehost and Tijuana on the rooftop. No, I don't want to dwell there no more. I done been there. I done had that experience. But now I want to dwell in the house of the Lord for. See, I can tell by some of y'all response, y'all ain't looking to be here forever. Yeah, y'all just one hurt from walking out the house. Y'all just one mistake, one thing. Said, look here, they got on my last nerve for that strive. I'm through with God and his folk. Because you have no desire to dwell in his house for. David said, I want to be here forever. In Psalms 27, another popular psalm, it is believed that this psalm was written by King David when he was being pursued by kings, Saul and his army. You know, God had anointed David with Saul and the army come against him. And so now this psalm reveals that as David was in great danger from violent evildoers, in spite of the dangerous situation, David was confident and courageous and unafraid. See, this psalm teaches us that when we know that the Lord and trust him, he helps us overcome fears that can paralyze our lives. See, this psalm is one of bold and courageous trust in God. You know, it starts off by asking a little question here in verse 21 of Psalms 27. He says, the Lord is my light. In other words, the Lord is my source of guidance and my source of instruction. Light in the Bible talk about different things. It reveals things to you. We see when the light come in, God's word reveals some things. That's why sometimes you hear people say, you're talking to a person, you can look at them and you can see in their eyes, you say, the light is on. You know, you've been talking to your children for a while and all of a sudden you say something and they let light up. That means they got an understanding now of what you've been trying to tell them, because something is happening up here. And so therefore, when I understand that the Lord is my light, I get revelation, I get understanding, I get clarity from him. He is my salvation. He is my light and my salvation. In other words, when I get in trouble, he comes to rescue me. He's the one that can make sure that everything's going to be all, because he is my salvation. He wants to make sure that I'm safe when I'm in the midst of trouble. He said, now, then he says, whom? Y'all got to answer that for yourself. If you know that the Lord is your light and your salvation, then the question is, who are you fearing? Got to answer that way. He said, who shall I fear? You know, kind of left that open. I hope he thought that we would all fill it in by saying, nobody. Jesus told his disciples, don't fear what man can do to you. You need to fear the one that got control of the body and the soul. So look here, when it comes to you, say, I don't fear. Now y'all scared of it. You just don't know some of the folks they might not. Yeah, no. I don't care who in your life. The Lord is my light and my whom shall I fear? Look here, why don't I fear? Look what he says here. Brother Andy said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? In other words, if I know that I got God's strength and his power on my side, why am I afraid of something that's coming against me? Because the greater one is on my side. And so therefore, if the greater one is on my side, whatever is coming against me is inferior to him. And so therefore, when I walk with him and I talk with him and I walk in righteousness, then I depend on his strength to help me to be bold. In other words, I don't come fearful just because challenges of life come. They're going to come whether I'm walking in faith or not. But because I walk in faith, I look at those challenges different from the way the world look at them. Because the Bible says, who should I be afraid of? I mean, we got church folks just scared. Afraid. Y'all got all them phobias now. Can't even turn the light off. Scared. Get in the elevator and just, somebody told you that was a phobia. You figured I better get me that phobia. That sounds good. Scared. All these things. So you got to watch what you say out of your mouth. Because if you start speaking, you got to fear something that will come on. Because the Bible says, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Then he gives us some things here to inspire. He says, when the wicked, somebody said wicked. That's those evil people we talked about. He said, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh. And you know, David is using some graphic language here to talk about a beast. You know, the wicked was coming at him like a wild beast that would just wanted to eat and devour his. He says, my enemies and my foes. Well, he had two. I got an enemy and I got a foe. I got trouble on every side. When folk come against me on every side, he said, look, they stumble and fail. Good God Almighty. God can make some things just stumble and fall. Everything that's chasing you shouldn't catch you. Everything that's chasing you shouldn't jump on you and have you fearful. Some things ought to just stumble and fall because they know who's on your side. You know, when I was in the hood, you know, it was good to have a big brother. And I didn't have one though. Because those guys who had big brothers, they acted different. They acted different. They walked around in their big brother's courage. You know, and they'll go out there and do some things because they know once I get in over my head, my big brother don't show up. And when my big brother show up, he gonna handle this business right here. And see, I didn't have a big brother, so I had to be careful who I jumped on because I did jump on some folks. But I made sure that when I jumped on somebody, they didn't have a And so you need to say, hey, look here, you need to tell folks who are trying to jump on you, look here, you need to respect me because I got a big brother that's looking out for me. His name is Jesus, and he got my back. So you don't want to really mess with me. And see, that was sometimes when you get to that level of boldness, man, you stop fearing every little thing that come against you because he says your enemies stumble and look at verse 3, it says, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be good God of mine. Life ain't going to be a bed of roses. Every now and then some things going to come against you, but when those things come, you're going to have to walk in boldness. And you're going to have to be confident that God got you in the midst of whatever it is you're going through. He said, now look, I like this. He says one thing, Brother Wilson, in verse 4, one thing. He says one thing. I have desire of the Lord. What is this thing that I have desire? And that one thing, that will I seek. Look what he want to seek after. That I may dwell, sound like what he said in the last one, in the house of the Lord all the days of my. I want to be in his house because I want to behold the beauty of the Lord, and I want to be able to inquire in his temple. I got a question, God. And God said, if you're in the house, I don't mind you asking me a question. And if that is your desire to dwell in his house, dwell in his presence, then when you get here, you ought to be able to ask him a, whatever it is that's troubling you, you ought to be able to ask him, God, why? What's going on? And believe that he's not fearful of you, that he's too afraid to answer. God has no problem with your inquiry. Amen. Amen. So don't you be timid and not ask the question if you got one. God, I got a. He says, now look, for in the time, verse 5, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me, that's that protection again, to keep me safe, in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he will hide me. Not only would he do that, Brother Moses, he said, he will set me high upon a rock. In other words, God can put you out of the reach of some of the folk that are trying to get to you. Everybody shouldn't be able to just get to you that quick. You got to believe that God going to take me to a rock that's higher than myself. And he's taking me there to separate me from some things and some enemy that's trying to get me. And when you're on the rock, you know it's good to be able to look down on your enemy. You know, when you got the upper hand, you just look down on some things. Because God done taken me to a place that every now and then I can look down on my problems. They don't have to be looking at me face to face. I don't have to be afraid of this thing and that thing, because now God done put me in a position I can look. It's almost tied into when he tells us certain things ought to be under our. Y'all got too much of this world looking y'all eyeball to eyeball. There's some things that belong under your. God want to elevate you above some of the cares and troubles of this world so that you can look. He says, he will hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. And look at this. And now my head shall be lifted above my. That's all around me. Now look at Wayne. This is what you were trying to get him to see a few minutes ago. He says, now, when I can look down on my enemies that's all around me, saying I got the upper hand, I'm in control of this situation. Then he said, now when I understand that, I got to give him something. See, the reason we don't give him the praise that he's due, because we still think we down there fighting with the. You fighting with the enemy. You got to see yourself as lifted up above the enemy, and then now you thank God for putting you in a position that you can look down on some things that was coming against you. So when you come to church, part of your worship is to give him a little bit of. You know, you got past that old enemy called death last night. Amen. You woke up this morning. Amen. Amen. Somebody didn't do that. So you here another day. So therefore, you ought to give him some. Amen. You know, whatever it is that was troubling you, you're looking down on it now. He said, when I get into the house, I come here to praise him. I come here to magnify him. I come here to lift him up and give him thanks for what he's done. Because he said, look, and now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer the sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. See, if you stop right there, Wayne, somebody said, well, I don't know what no sacrifice of joy is. What is the sacrifice of joy? I like God answer your question. Because some of y'all are trying to ease out of this praise thing by telling me, I don't understand. I don't know what this sacrifice of joy is. Nobody taught me about no sacrifice of joy. What if I said, well, he's just mean giving you him a sacrifice of praise. Meaning that I'm willing to praise him when I don't even feel like it. I came in here, my back was hurting this morning. But I feel like I got to give him some praise. You come in here sometimes, you just don't feel like it. But when you make a sacrifice, you do it in spite of how you. Because you're giving him thanks for what he has done for you. So this is what David said. He answered the question for us. I read it. So he said, therefore, I will offer a sacrifice of joy in his tabernacle. Then he said, I will sing. Yes, I will sing. I will mean that's intentional. So can we do something intentional right here? Since we all here and we got something to give him thanks for, he done brought us through another day, another night. If you're able to, why don't you just stand up and give him some praise? Let's just take a moment, just stand up and say, I will. I'm in the tabernacle. I'm in his house. I'm here to magnify him. I'm here to glorify him. I'm here to give him thanks for what he's done. So David said, yes, I will sing. Yes, I will praise the Lord. Well, we may not be able to all sing together, but we can shout hallelujah together. We can praise him in unison by just saying hallelujah, giving him the praise, giving him the honor, giving him the glory that he do. And I know somebody said, well, that ain't my nature. Well, you don't care. You just don't know what the Bible say. It ain't got nothing to do with your nature. It got something to do with what he said. And you got to know how to give him the praise. The Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. In other words, when people start praising, I come and live in the praise. I show up in the midst of their praise when they telling me thank you, when they're honoring my name, I will show. Okay, now I know some of y'all can't do it, but I ain't gonna let you sit down to everybody at least. You may not say, well, I'm too cute to shout. Okay, I got it. I don't want to mess up my mascara if I cry or my look. You know, I paid too much for these eyes. You know, these lips. I ain't been to start no crying off up in here. I paid too much for this makeup I got on. I don't want to walk out here with my stuff all smudged up on my face. Look here. Who cares? You came in here to praise God. This ain't about you. This is about him. So we come to give him some praise. So look here, everybody, just give God your best praise. If you can't do nothing else, just shout, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, I will sing praise to the Lord. I will set my will in agreement with his will, and I will give him praise because he is worthy. Good God Almighty, we just got to learn how to praise him. We come in here to praise God. We come in here to magnify and to lift him up. We come in here to be set free from the things that we came burdened with, and we want to give him. Oh, we got to learn how to just give him the praise that he's due. There's nothing wrong with praising a holy God that said that he will be with you no matter what you go through, no matter where you find yourself at in life. There's nothing wrong with praising. Glory be to your name, God. Glory be to your name. Glory be to your name. Glory be to your name. Glory. Y'all sit down right now. Y'all sit down. I'm going to read something else to y'all. Good God Almighty. Oh, glory be to your name, God. Ain't nothing wrong with praising, Wayne. Glory. He is worthy. He is worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. 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 Psalms 138. In Psalms 138, y'all hold on to that spirit right now because I want you to see some here. In Psalms 138, I'm going to close with this psalm where we find David praising God again. Now, as king, David was facing opposition from neighboring nations. And these nations was known for worshiping idol gods. I mean, they had a God for everything, a God for the sun, a God the moon, a God of lust, a God of this, a God of that. They just had gods, gods, gods. So anytime in the Bible you see God with a little g, it ain't talking about the God. When the Bible have a God with a little g and an s on it, it's talking about them false God. See, we got a lot of little g's running around in Christian circles, these little gods. You know, we got a lot of people that run around burning stuff now to find peace, little God. We got a people shaking stuff to find peace, little God. We got a, you know, some of y'all reading your sign. What did my horoscope say today? Who told you the zodiac, or Cancer, or a Sagittarius, or whatever it is? When I'm a Scorpio. Who told you that? Did they tell you that they was trying to get you to focus on a little God? And so now you got to go and read what the Scorpio say today in order for you to get a revelation of what God trying to get through to you. You better get away from them little gods. Y'all done made little gods. Got a lot of little gods in the world. People have made themselves gods. And so therefore, when you look up to a person and you elevate them to a place, that's your God. And I don't care who it is, it's a little God. And so look at what David says here. Now, he was going against these nations that worship many gods. But he talks with boldness when he talks about God being with him in the midst of everything that he was going through. Look at this in verse 1 of Psalms 130. He says, I will do what? That word is again. And the two words in front of it is I what? On purpose. Intentionally. It ain't no accidental praise. I didn't just stumble into this praise. I willed myself into this praise. And look here, Wayne. There's a heart that we got to praise him with. He says, I will praise you with my... See, sometimes we get up and we have a divided loyalty. We want to praise him, but Wayne, I hear you say this oftentimes, and other folk, they start looking around. And they divide it down because I'm going to get to the same degree as my neighbor. And they kind of cool and reserve. They kind of pay for love. So I look around and see that that's the temperature in the room, and I forget that I got to praise them with my... So I develop your heart for praise instead of the heart that God wants me to have for praise. So when it comes to praise, you can't be looking around at your neighbor. Your neighbor may not understand this word. Your neighbor may not want to obey this word, but you know this word. So you can't let folk rob you from praising God. You can't look at, they gonna think this about me. They gonna say this about me. They ain't used to this over here in Striving. If I do this, somebody gonna go to the pastor and say, hey, Wayne shouted too loud. He interrupted your sermon because the Lord moved on him and he started shouting hallelujah. He started shouting glory to God in the highest. He started doing it right in there. Because I want to praise God with my whole heart. This is what the Bible say, not what Bolden say. God is looking for somebody that's going to praise him with their all. Don't give God no half-hearted praise. When you praise them Philadelphia Eagles, when they won the championship, I guarantee those Philly fans, they give up no half-hearted praise. So why do we come to church and praise a holy God, but we praise him with a half heart instead of our... David, look here. I will praise you with my... I would just love to know, what does a wholehearted praise look like? How do we manifest a wholehearted praise in the house of God? What does that... I don't know exactly, but I just don't believe it looked like this. I hope he says something to touch me today. No, I done touched you already. God want a wholehearted praise. God wants you to praise him with your whole heart. This is not a wholehearted praise. This is a half. If you got limbs and you got life and you got strength, God wants you to... God will, oh, y'all just don't get it today. God is looking for somebody that will praise him with their whole heart. That will praise him with my... Good God Almighty, what does a praise with my whole heart look like? What does it feel like? What is that experience when I give God my whole heart? He only asking you for an hour and a half this morning. Give him your best hour and a half. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. David said, I will praise you with my whole heart. Now look here. Before the gods, them little gods, he said, before the gods, I will sing praise to you. I'm going to get rid of my sage and I'm going to praise. I'm going to throw my crystals in the trash can and I'm going to praise. I'm going to stop reading my horoscope and I'm going to praise. in the front of all them little gods, I'm going to lift up your holy name. I ain't going home and reading a horoscope and then turn around and read the Bible. The horoscope got to... I ain't going to leave church and go see Miss Rudolph and let her read my palm when I ought to be reading the Bible. I don't care what my palms say. I know what God say. So therefore, I'm going to praise God, and I'm not going to all them little. Y'all got some friends trying to talk y'all into. We need to go see the palm reader to let her tell us what this line mean, what that line mean. Read the Bible. It'll tell you what that. He said, before the little gods, way, before the gods, I will sing praise to you. I'm not going to be intimidated by all them little bitty gods out there. I'm bold enough to praise God in the midst of them little gods. When these people walk up to you and talk about all them spiritual things that they're doing, and they into you, say, is that the big God or is that a little God? Because if it's a little God, I'm going to walk on him. But if it's a big God, I'm going to praise. Is it all right with me just reading the Bible? He said, before the gods, I will sing praises to you. That means you can't be scared to worship and magnify God no matter where you are. People ought to hear you talk about God. You can't be intimidated because other folk don't believe God, and now you shut your mouth when they're talking about their gods. Said, man, before the gods, before the little G-O-D-S. You know some of them rappers, they say, hey, little G-O-D's. G-O-D's, little G-O-D's. And you out there buying the little G-O-D records. Listening to the little G-O-D fill your head up with garbage. Not y'all children. Y'all got to get your children. Because some of them are influenced by the little gods. Some of them are influenced by the little gods. And you got to know enough about the big God, the almighty God, that when your children come at you with language about the little God, you got to say, no, baby, you are following the wrong thing. He says, look here, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praise to you. Look what he says. I will worship toward your holy temple. Back in that time, if they weren't present where the temple was, they would always try to face the direction of the temple. You know, kind of like when Daniel was in prison, you know, he used to pray and he looked back toward Jerusalem. And you know, even in the Muslim now, sometimes when they get buried, they want to be buried facing a certain direction. Well, I don't care about all that. Because we worship a God that don't live in a house that made with hands. So therefore, I don't care. You can bury me upside down, sideways, on my back, on my stomach. Because what you buried ain't what's with God. What's with God is already gone. So that because I believe to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. So therefore, you ain't got to face me directly with the Lord. Look here, I've been walking around with him. He with me. So therefore, because he's with me, look here, I don't have to turn into a direction looking for him. All I got to do is look for within. He's already. He said, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. Man, I want to praise your name because you are loving and you are kind God and you are God that operate in. Everybody's walking around trying to find their truth now. I just got to speak my truth. Ain't being encouraged. Speak your truth, girl. Speak your truth, man. Speak your truth. Well, if your truth don't line up with this, your truth could be a lie. You got to speak you got to speak to the call with this. Don't just be making up your truth and your truth go against God's. My truth is I got to feel like this. I got to act like now. Ain't no truth. That's you. You got to know what the truth. He said, look here, man, and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. And y'all better get this, because this is a mystery to a lot of people, how this got in the Bible like this. And it is hard to comprehend when we're thinking in the natural. Because he says, you have magnified your word above your name. The promises that I made to you in here, I have elevated them above my. Because I want you to believe. I want you to act like you know and understand this. Because I have elevated my word. I have elevated my promises. I have magnified them above mine. And we go to church today and don't open up this. Don't read this. Don't understand this. We go to church and we are spiritual illiterate. Because nobody take the time to open up. We can sing about his name, hallelujah. Yeah. 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 Jehovah Jireh, yeah. My provider. Uh-huh. It's all right. But you better know what's in. That's right. That's right. Because I have elevated my word. I magnify. Because David said, you have magnified your word above your. Look at it. When he got that revelation, then he said, in the day when I cried out, in the day when I was going through my valley, in the day when I thought I wasn't going to make it, but he said, in the day when I cried, every now and then you got to cry out. You got to talk to God and let him know what's going on in your life. You can't be ashamed to cry out. He said, in the day, this is King David. This is somebody who knew God. He said, in the day. Every now and then, you're going to find yourself in a moment when you need to cry out to God. You can't cry out to your friends. You can't cry out to mama, daddy, nobody else. You have to cry out to God. You can't go read your horoscope and cry out to it. You can't go and drop some coins on the floor and some crystals and cry out, I hope they line up the right way. You better get off your knees and look up to heaven and start crying. He says, in the day when I cried out, what did happen? God is not afraid to answer you when you cry out. He said, in the day when I cried out, you answered. And what did you do? Look what he did. Brother Wilson, he knew I was down on my knee trembling like I was scared. But when I cried out, you made me. You told me, baby, you ain't got no business down there. There's a lion inside of you. Why are you down there acting like that? You don't know how you're going to make it through. There's a lion on the inside of you. I just got to make you into what you are. And so what we got to understand, God already knows what's on the inside of us. He's just ready for us to realize it so it'll come out of us. He said, look here, you answered me and made me bold with strength in mind. Boy, you got to get this boldness deep down on the inside of you. I mean, it got to be so much part of you that when things come out of your life, you know, had to catch it. That line about to come out. I mean, you know, they talking some stuff. It don't make no sense. I'm about to roar right now because I know what's on the inside of me. He made me this way. That's the truth. That's your truth right there. Tell somebody that truth. When you get ready to go off in a righteous way, say, look, he made me this way. He told me that when I see wickedness and unrighteousness, I'm supposed to be as. I ain't supposed to compromise and wimp out. I'm supposed to call it like it is. I'm supposed to be that umpire that call the balls and the strikes, call them just like the words say. And look here, he can make bold. Good God Almighty. Y'all just need to get out of the way and let him make you. You know, let the potter take you in his hand and shape you and make you into the bold person that he's already called you to. Made me bold with strength down in my soul. God can strengthen you when you're going through some things, and that strength comes from an inner power, not an exterior power. Something got to take place on the inside of you that strengthens you to be bold in the face of opposition. See, when we stand up in boldness and start declaring to the world that Jesus is Lord. That he is God with us. Emmanuel. See, when we start saying that with boldness, other people are going to say, no. There's more than one way to get to God. I say, what? Who told you that? That's my truth. There's more than one way to get to God. You know, this path may lead you through Hinduism. This one may lead you through Buddhism. This may lead you through whatever ism that you want to be dealing with. You know, may lead you through your sage and through your crystal shaking, because they got energy and they talk to you. But do they talk about the God that those crystals got to go through to get? Do they talk about the sun in that conversation? Do they ever mention the sun? If the God that you're dealing with, they never talk about Jesus, then I submit to you, you're dealing with the wrong. And see, it takes boldness in this time to say that, because those things are popular, man. People out there, into church folks out there, messing with cards and ring cards and slapping these things. Come on, man. Why you need to be reading tarot cards and all these other things? It's just a game. It's just a game. There ain't no game. There's a spirit behind that foolishness. And you out there intermingling with that foolishness, not knowing that the true and living God is living on the inside of you. Look, you better get away from some of that. You got to tell some of your friends with boldness. Hey, look here. I don't play that game no more. It's just a game. That's what the enemy wants to trick you with. It's just a game. It's sensible. It's just a little game. They do that to our kids with some of these stuff they watch on TV now. It's just a game. But they're orientating them to a way of living that is not in accordance with the. All Disney is not good Disney. I know I'm going to get no good clap right there, because my kids love Disney. They love all the Disney stuff. Well, you better start editing and looking at some of that Disney for you. Because it will pull them away from following the true and living God. I think I said enough about boldness for today, but I ain't through. I mean, I got a lot more to say about boldness. Because after the day of Pentecost, them disciples had to be. And look here, Pentecost has come. So it's time for you. To be bold. And are you going to wimp out and be ashamed of the gospel? Or are you going to stand boldly and declare the truth of the gospel? God said his word has been magnified above his. My last thought, you ain't gonna shout right here, just for your friend. If you go to a church and they never magnify that word, and it's all about the performance, you may walk out there thinking you bold, but you ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. Half of the folks that perform ain't living nothing. They just got a gift and a talent. But just because they got a gift and a talent don't mean that they're using it the way God wanted to be used. Even in the. I know y'all don't want to hear that. I know y'all got a lot of friends going. Yeah. But there's some folks out there y'all need to stay away from. I would call some name, but I don't know, can I get sued by calling them out? But y'all ask me privately, I'll tell you who they are by name. Because they got folks shouting and falling out and all this, and all they doing is slinging syrup around. All right. All right. Amen. got blessed today, the man of God. I got blessed. And all you got was a pancake breakfast. I'm done. Every head bowed, every eye closed.